This is Forum. I'm John Michaels, Public Affairs Radio Director. We're going to be talking with Sam Clemens, who's Public Information Officer for the City of Sioux Falls Police Department in administration down on 4th Street there. Sam, you're fairly young. Tell us a little bit about yourself a little bit.
Well, I started off in 2000. I was hired as a police officer, and I've been doing that job ever since. About 3 years ago, we had an opening. Our former public information officer switched to a different position. I put in for this position and was selected as it, and so I'm essentially the spokesman, the media relations liaison, kind of I have a few different hats that I throw on as well, but my main job is dealing with the media and getting information out.
In other words, if they want to look at the Argus Leader 911 page, you're the one that gives the press report every morning and tells everybody about the robbery the night before or all the details, and the press always asks you about 10 more questions than you know about, but you're always the one on TV,
yep.
You know, pretty much.
Yep.
So people kind of can, you know who you are a little bit, but the reason that you're here is we wanted to talk about, the Cutler bill as far as trafficking of women. We don't see that. We don't think about it. But you and I were just discussing, there's only the ones that are caught are the ones we know about.
Yeah.
You hear a lot. Who was she? Ling or whichever, the gal that spoke at the women's business seminar last year. It was her sister that was a reporter in North Korea that Carter had to go get over and that kind of thing. But she did a lot of reporting on the domestic abuse or the abuse of women in trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
We read about it as far as different Asian and Chinese and different cultures and that type of stuff. But people, you know, it's kind of like drugs. They say, well, that's L.A., that's New York, it's Chicago. But no, it's right here.
Yeah, and that's one of the things. I think there is some publicity that's gotten attention to this, and a lot of it you hear about overseas and in different countries and in bigger cities. And we know that it happens everywhere, but it's going to be really the amount of what we're dealing with. And we haven't necessarily seen stuff like that in Sioux Falls. I mean, there's been a few isolated cases, or isolated as far as we're concerned. But if it's out there, there's a good chance that there's some of it happening that we're not aware of.
Well, you can get on 990 in Buffalo, New York, go all the way to the West Coast. You can get on I-29 all the way from Mexico to Canada. We are kind of in the crossroads.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of a lot of things coming by here.
Yes.
And I think with illegal immigrants, I think that's coming up a little bit more. We see that in the legislature where, you know, if they're on their way to Canada, they're going to come through Sioux Falls.
Yeah, and that's, I guess, to kind of tie in with that is, at least with the I-29 or, you know, heading north-south, we're hitting drugs. A lot of the drugs that we see now are coming out of Mexico just because of the different crackdowns that have happened around the U.S. And anytime you have drug flow, you're going to have other things that flow along with that.
We don't have to worry about the cartel like they do in Arizona yet.
Right.
But not too long ago, what was it? Governor Janklow got a free airplane from one that landed out by the Missouri River full of drugs. So you never can tell. But that's where I think the main thing with any police force, Sam, is that it's the public making you aware of what's going on and telling you what's happening. It's the neighborhoods and the people looking out for each other.
Yeah, and I've preached that message long and hard, and there's so much a police department can do, but we can only be so many places at you know, a handful of times, and we don't have enough people to be on every single corner, and we always rely on the community, and we always say people in their neighborhood are going to know what's going on in their neighborhood better than we are. If we get called there, we'll deal with that immediate problem, but, you know, if something's going on at the house next door, there's people coming and going, that, you know, we don't know what's going on there all the time. And so if you live in the neighborhood, if you see that stuff, that's going to ring true. And so that's why we really rely on the community to inform us and get that information out. And there's different ways they can do it. A lot of people are concerned that they don't want to put their name to it, but they're concerned enough that they think that information needs to be passed on. And that's why we have Crime Stoppers. That's one of the resources that people can use is, sometimes it's information related to a crime. Sometimes it's just suspicious behavior that somebody may have or notice. And so they can call in anonymously, and that information gets passed directly to a law enforcement officer, and they'll follow up on that. And I've talked to many detectives who have Crime Stoppers reports and have some information. Some of it's kind of sketchy, some of it's pretty detailed, but they follow up on all of that stuff. And a lot of the times people don't realize these different anonymous reports all work together to create a rounded picture.
We're not a small town anymore.
No. You know, we have some small town traits, mm-hmm. and I think that's what makes Sioux Falls a nice community, but people have to realize that we're not a small town anymore, and you know, there's not 20,000 people here. When I think we're up to about 157,000 the last count, if I remember right, and we still have a good community. But anytime you have that large number of people, you're going to start seeing some more crime too.
Well, I often suggest to the mayor that if he wanted to fund the event center, all he had to do was start giving speeding tickets on Minnesota Avenue and he'd fund it right away. But really the problem there is there's 1,000 to 1.
Yes.
You can stop 10 of them, but there's another 1,000 that are on Cliff Avenue.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
And that's kind of, you know, just getting the traffic to flow and not having accidents is better than, you know, causing accidents, I suppose, too. But you can't do everything like they used to. Robberies, I think, now in some towns are almost just filling out paperwork.
Yeah, and you see that, I think, in a lot of bigger cities. I've got relatives that live in Omaha, and when I go down there, and I don't watch the news a lot down there, but every once in a while I catch it or I read the paper, and I'm amazed at how what would be a big crime here in Sioux Falls gets so little attention down there, and people just seem to kind of, you know, oh, it's the same old, and I'm just amazed by that, and it makes me glad that I live in Sioux Falls and fortunate that we have the community we do.
Some people would say if it wasn't for pawn shops, you wouldn't get much back.
Well, there's something to be said for that, too, but I suppose, you know, there's legitimate parts of that business, too, and we do work with the pawn shops well to try to recover as much stolen property as we can, but that's kind of the nature of their business.
Well, how many are in the police department right now?
Where are we at? We're authorized for 230 officers. We are going through the stages of another hiring class, so we haven't quite got to the interview parts yet, but I think we're looking at about 6 that we're short. So I think currently we're at 224, and I started hearing some talk that we might have some other officers retiring that have been there for quite a few years. So who knows, we might end up hiring more than the 6 that we were anticipating.
Some people might say, well, gosh, this is a chance to get a job. Can they apply for that?
This part is actually closed. Okay. The application time was, I think, most of January, if I remember right. So they've had the initial round of testing, and they're going on through the different stages of that. Kind of what's been happening in the past is we've been doing a spring and a fall hire, and a lot of that just depends on how many openings we have. And I know at least this particular year, we're looking at probably a fair number of people. I'd say maybe 4 or 5 people that are eligible to retire and actually considering retirement. So we might end up having another higher class this fall as well.
After 9/11, the federal government, Homeland Security, gave funds for more officers. Is that still happening, or is that something that we're going to lose?
Hard to say with the federal government. Mm-hmm. We did get, I think it was last year, a COPS grant that authorized 9 hires, and I don't think we filled quite that. The hiring list we had, I think we had 7 off of that. So part of the class that we're looking at filling this year is to the remainder of those COPS grants. And, you know, COPS grants have been great for our department. We've hired a lot of officers from that, and it helps out with a few years as far as paying wages and then equipment to get everybody outfitted. And so I guess I would hope it would continue, but who knows what happens in Washington.
Well, it's a Sunday morning, but I'm going to say it. Prostitution is something that is as old as the Bible. But what is the situation? You know, we're seeing stuff in Cutler, the district senator, is sponsoring a bill for trafficking mm-hmm. of women. Evidently seeing a need for this. A lot of stories about pheasant hunting lodges. There's reasons why they're $1,500 a day.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there's any girl with a red dress sitting on the corner of 12th and Main.
Right.
But it's usually the waitress. Bartender. Every neighborhood probably knows somewhere something. But it's like I say, it's something you're not going to be able to eliminate. But as far as the abuse to the women, what actually is the police issue on that?
Well, that's a complicated issue, to say the least. And we get reports. We don't have a whole lot. I actually went back quite a few years and to 2005, and we only had 18 reports of prostitution. We've had a few others of assisting or promoting 11. So, I mean, we're looking back over 6 years now and 29 reports. Isn't that terribly many? And we know it's out there and we know it exists. We do have detectives that do periodic stings to try to catch prostitutes, and those work. I mean, we'll make arrests of that, and we try to publicize that to try to help, I guess, get the word out there that we're not going to tolerate this. And, you know, that kind of goes back to one of those things that we know it's out there, we know it happens, but unless we have more information that it's specifically happening or that a particular person is involved in this, there's only so much we can do.
Yeah, the he said, she said.
Right.
And you could spend $1 million and try to eliminate it, and it would come back the next day.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of the stuff, you'll get people that are, well, they know it's illegal, so they try to keep it as quiet and secretive as possible. And that's a big challenge on the law enforcement end, is trying to crack that and trying to find out where it's taking place.
Well, prostitution and drugs go together. Now, those statistics for the prostitution might be one thing, but if you add in the people who were forced into the business, I guess you might say, through drugs.
Yeah.
That's another one.
You know, I don't know if we've necessarily seen that here locally, and that's one of the things we've heard about, but I'm just trying to think of the reports that I've seen. I don't think we've necessarily seen that connection here.
Well, one thing that I think a lot of people don't know is you don't see gangs so much in Sioux Falls, and people don't realize that really this is something that Sioux Falls has probably been used as a model example of, really doing some things to keep the gangs out of Sioux Falls.
Yeah, and we have a street crimes unit that focuses a lot on gangs, and they have an exact count, and I can't think of what it is, but there's quite a fair number of people in Sioux Falls that claim some gang affiliation. And you know, all the stuff you hear about coast to coast, we have those people here that claim that affiliation. The difference we have versus other communities is the gangs here don't have the structure and don't have the network that other places have. And a lot of that goes back to when gangs first started coming into Sioux Falls. The officers that were working back then really cracked down hard on it, and the people that came from out of town to try to set up the network, they chased them out and let them know that that type of behavior isn't welcome here. So there are people here, but we don't have the problems that other communities face.
Not the things that we see on television, I guess you might say, with the gang rivalry and, mm-hmm. and that a lot of motorcycles coming by in the summertime, but the graffiti, you don't see that. And there's really been quite a campaign to keep the graffiti away.
Yeah, and a big part of that is and I can't think of when that was, but the council enacted a city ordinance that I believe it's 14 days. Once the graffiti has been reported to law enforcement, the property owner has the responsibility to remove that. Otherwise, the city will come out and do it for them, and of course, there'll be a fee associated with that. But a big part of that, it's kind of a pain for the property owner, but what that does, when the gang members go out and use their graffiti, they're essentially marking their territory. And that just causes a problem, because then you'll have somebody else that, you know, essentially arguing over turf. This is my block, not your block. So you have a proliferation of graffiti that just spreads through a neighborhood as everybody's marking their territory. So when we have everybody that paints over this stuff and gets rid of it within this 2 weeks, you don't have this big problem of graffiti spread throughout the area.
They can't claim a turf if there's no signage
exactly
for that. And so there's people that really are here to maybe recruit for gangs, but they can't seem to get a foothold.
Yeah, and I don't know. Occasionally we'll see some people from another community or another bigger city that'll come here looking, you know, to recruit, but they don't stick around very long. And I think that kind of has to do with the fact that we did such a good job years ago when they first tried to come here, that there's no organization with the people that have that claim gang affiliation.
Once they get started, it's pretty hard to take it away because then it is a turf war.
Yeah, and that's I think that's a big thing that other communities have now realized, that once it gets established, it's real hard to eliminate.
And Sioux City, Omaha, a few towns to the east of us here, really do have a problem where I think even legislatures have, given them funds to have special police efforts in that type of thing to try and stop it. And it's really, like I say, once it catches fire, it's hard to stop.
Yeah, it really is. And those gangs sometimes, they target the younger kids, but it provides a network because the kids maybe have some problems in their family life. And this gang is almost like a family to them, a pseudo family, where they have the structure and organization and parental figures. And they're just not up to lawful activities, which is kind of unfortunate, but it's sometimes hard to eliminate once it gets hold and gets its roots in there.
Well, search engines are good.
Mm-hmm.
If you put in prostitution Sioux Falls, yeah, some things come up. December 11th, a few years ago, prostitution case in Sioux Falls, Craigslist, exotic services in South Dakota. Donald Zeman, 71, of Spencer, Iowa, arrested just a couple months ago. The sex crime ring in T, South Dakota. The doctor tied to prostitution ring pleads guilty. There's, like I say, it's there. And once it starts to get unraveled, it shows a whole lot more down underneath there. But getting back to how can we enforce, the laws are on the books. We don't have to put any more on
there. Right. That's the big challenge. And like I said, it's a lot of this stuff is almost secretive. This day and age with the internet, it makes it a lot more difficult. And we've got detectives that monitor sites where we know prostitution is advertised. We know that there's people that are interested in taking advantage of children. And we've got other detectives that are part of a Internet Crimes Against Children unit. And they're out there looking for these people. And we try to be as proactive as we can to find these people, but that's the big challenge, is when everybody's trying to be quiet and secretive about it, is trying to find them.
Well, you do every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you're the one that tells the news department.
Yeah,
about it,
so. Yeah.
But getting back to the problem of the abuse to the woman, sometimes they get into with drugs and with alcohol. They get in a situation where, somebody needs to take them out of that situation. Stockholm syndrome, where they can't live without their pimp,
mm-hmm.
you might say. But what about the John?
Well, that's one of the things as I looked through the reports, and I didn't see a whole lot where we're finding the pimp. The John, occasionally they're made arrest, but a lot of those... how do I say that? We don't get a lot of reports from Johns that mm-hmm. the reports that we see come in, and we can usually infer and read between the lines, but are people that met a woman that they may or may not know their name and go to, say, a hotel room, and then they get robbed. And we can pretty much figure out that they were, going to engage in prostitution there, and then they were taken advantage of when they were in a compromising position where the woman ended up taking a wallet or taking their cash and then running out the door. And occasionally, like I said, we'll get the phone calls about that where the guys are just reporting the robbery, and we usually know there's something else going on, but proving that is another matter.
What do people need to do if they say, well, they know somebody that is involved in this trade, this business? Can they intervene?
Well, that's a good question. A lot of the times the people that are involved in that don't necessarily want to get out. And part of that might be just their mentality and the situation that they get themselves into, that they don't think there's any other way. A lot of the times these people that are involved in it don't want any dealings with police because they've had some other experiences or other run-ins with the law. But I know there's at least a couple of organizations locally that will help women out, and I'm sure that if people had information about that they could refer them to them, and those people would go out. And they've got a couple of websites, but one of them is relatively new. It's BeFree, BeFree, the number 58, so BeFree58.org. And then also Volunteers of America in South Dakota has a program called Breaking Free. And both of those organizations are geared towards helping women get out of situations like this.
Some just don't say, this is some of the things that goes on is that they never ask for money. They say, well, if you want to leave something on the mantle, go ahead. But they never ask for money. Is that kind of the thing that a policeman needs to, you know, you see it on TV. They've got to, you know, the money has to transfer hands or whichever, or you can't arrest them.
Well, that's TV. TV's mm-hmm. sometimes a little different and a little sensationalized, but I was reviewing the reports and a lot of the prostitution stings and arrests that we've made, they've been very direct and upfront with the detectives that have gone in there and said, it's X number of dollars for this type of sex act. So they've been pretty blunt as far as, you know, it's not, you know, leave me a gift over there on the counter, wink, wink, you know, type of thing. I mean, that's that they're just coming out directly and saying what they want and how much it is.
Craigslist. Now, I actually interviewed a guy that started Craigslist. He actually almost put the newspapers in San Francisco out of business, and he operates out of a very humble house with just a low staff, but he had a good idea. But on the other hand, he says, well, there were some police officers we found doing some things on Craigslist, too. But that seems to be a problem in Sioux Falls.
Yeah, the Craigslist is one of the ones that's used. There's mm-hmm. others that are used, too, and I think a lot of attention recently, maybe in the last year or so, has focused on Craigslist, and so there's been other websites that have started up that are very similar, and so you'll have people that are offering their adult services or escort services, and there's essentially a code. It's not too difficult to crack, but they're basically advertising their wares and telling you how much it is for the amount of time.
Escort services, are they licensed? Or?
In Sioux Falls, they're licensed.
And we got quite a few, or?
You know what? To be honest, I'm not sure. I don't think we have that terribly many, but
I don't use Yellow Pages anymore. Yeah, people can Google it, I guess. But escort services, other things. It's not like we have a military base here either,
right?
You know, but the fact is that there's probably some women out there that are being used and abused.
Yeah, and I mean that's a very real possibility, and that it all falls back to the you know, if we don't know about it, we can't help. And so if somebody else knows about it, then there's resources out there that they can go to and try to get these women help. And we, you know, it's one thing to arrest people that are willing participants, but if somebody's not a willing participant, we'd sure like to get them out of that situation and get them help so they're not caught up in this.
And if a guy's got a lot of money, he basically can say, do you want to go to Las Vegas with me? And they're gone, you know.
Yeah. That gets a little dicey, but if they want to hop on a plane with them and go, you know, then this becomes a willing thing, and then they're in another jurisdiction.
So the ones that really get caught are the ones that really don't have the money.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably right. Mm-hmm. You know, you might see it. I don't know how much the people make that have been caught, but for the most part, we're not talking high dollar stuff. We're talking, you know, well, they're advertising on the internet and for anybody to see.
Well, we're speaking with Sam Clemens. Sam Clemens, that's an actor, isn't he?
Mark Twain's real name was Sam Clemens.
That's it, yeah. Public information officer for the city of Sioux Falls, and you get a lot of calls. What's some of the unusual calls you get?
We get a lot. I was just drawing a blank right off the top of my head. I know we had one last summer. I think it was a couple of summers ago. Walked into a hotel that had a restaurant, ended up taking a package of frozen chicken and was walking down the sidewalk and essentially opening a coat and flashing at people and asking them if they wanted to buy his meat. It's, yeah, a new day every day. And I'm not on the streets anymore to deal with this stuff. And mm-hmm. I've got a lot of good stories from the past, but it's in some ways it's almost better now because I get to read all these stories, and not all of them are funny or unusual, but every once in a while you run across them, and when you're on the street, it's kind of far and few between when you experience those ones, but now I get the joy of reading about it and having a good laugh.
Sure. What do we have an internal service? Who polices the police force?
We've got a unit within the police department, and they used to be called internal affairs. They've changed that to professional standards unit, it's kind of more in line with what the rest of the country is doing, but there's a thing on our website. If people have complaints, that they can go there, and that professional standards unit will investigate those allegations.
If people want to know more about something, first of all, the Crime Stoppers, what is that number?
Crime Stoppers is 367-8007.
And the information number, they don't have to call the 911, but if they have a question, they can call the information number.
There's 911 will get you the dispatchers. There's a non-emergency number that'll get you the same dispatchers. It'll just be a little lower priority call, and that's 367-7000. Or if a person has a question and wants to talk to an officer directly, they can call our information desk. That number is 367-7212.
Is there a certain time of the week when you get more calls, and is it Saturday nights or any time of the day? I suppose pretty much the same.
It kind of depends on – a lot of this depends on the year, time of year, and kind of what's going on weather-wise. The warmer weather, we're busier. And so summer is a lot busier than winter. Friday nights, Saturday nights in the summertime are really busy. And I think the last time I looked, it was like a Tuesday or a Wednesday, which seemed a little odd to me, but seemed to be busier call-wise than other days. And so every once in a while we'll hit some peak like that, and it might have just been a warm period where a lot of people got outside and wanted to do things and happened to get in trouble.
Some of the patrol cars, do they ever turn the engine off?
Some of them, yeah, but for a short time. There's a lot of them that run almost 24 hours a day. We've got a pretty good sized fleet, and not all of them run all the time because depending on what shift it's going, our afternoon shift, they are the busiest, and they work from basically 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. And when they're working, pretty much all the cars are being used. And during the other shifts, there's a few less people on, so it just kind of depends on how many people are working that particular day.
How many miles do you put on those?
They get run pretty hard. I think we average around 100,000 miles in 3 years on a car.
Well, the highway patrol's probably got some cars with low mileage, he would tell you.
Yeah.
But bringing that up, though, is you do network with the highway patrol, the sheriff. Mm-hmm. There's actually FBI in Sioux Falls, Homeland Security in Sioux Falls. You get quite a big table when you get everybody around it, don't you?
Yeah, and different, I mean, they work with different parts and different areas of our department. Our drug task force is made up of both local, so it's the police department, sheriff's office, state. We've got DCI that's involved with that, and then also federal agencies, and we've got Homeland Security, DEA, and ATF, and I know I'm leaving somebody else out, and I'm probably going to get in trouble for that. But
well, the main thing about it is that the services are in Sioux Falls.
Yes.
And we keep thinking, well, that's TV, that's L.A., that's Chicago. But rural South Dakota, you could probably smell maple real strong in the air at some farmhouses.
Well, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Crack cocaine, how is that changing things even during your time?
It's kind of a little different. It was pretty popular a while ago, and it kind of dropped off when meth started coming around. But since pretty much across the country, they've cracked down on the amount of pseudoephedrine people can get. Meth has really dropped off, and the crack cocaine is starting to see more of a resurgence. And that was, I suppose, probably 2 years ago, that was the case on the coasts, and now it's finally getting that way to Sioux Falls. And I don't know if it's necessarily taking over the spot that meth had taken, but we're seeing a lot more of it now than we used to.
Well, we started talking about the bill from coming out of Sioux Falls. It's in the legislature right now. It got out of committee about trafficking women for sex. But there's also a bill, I think, as far as helping the public know the criminals by, I think, if it passes, it'd be able to put the picture of the criminals up on the web. That's one thing I think St. Paul did for prostitution I think it's still doing it, but 10 years ago they started doing it, where they would put pictures of all the Johns up on the internet. Now, they didn't have to be convicted. It's just if they were arrested, they would put their picture up there, and that was a deterrent in the internet way. Are we going to maybe see something like that?
I don't know. I wasn't aware of that bill. I know a lot of states across the U.S. have similar laws to that, where once a person is arrested, their picture can be released to the media. Our laws here in South Dakota are pretty specific that the only time we can release a picture is if somebody is like an escapee from a jail or penitentiary, or they're a fugitive from justice, which means they're wanted for some type of crime, and they're a danger to the public.
All right. Well, our time is up, but Sam Clemens, Public Information Officer, City of Sioux Falls Police Department, want to thank you very much for being with us.
No problem.